Well, good morning. I see a number of people have checked in online already, so it's good to see you. This is our first time doing something, and so I've got a lot of instruments here, too. And I'm forgetting to press buttons that I normally would have pressed, and so I'm just going to press a few more buttons here. If you want to, make your way over to number 16. What I'm going to do first is kind of read some passages because we do have some context that we need to deal with and review. Okay, we'll see how this works. Yikes! So hopefully you're joining us, and I may stop and just kind of look at a few more things anyway. But number 16, and just I'm going to read some stuff for context. I was looking for my glasses, and I just realized they're on my head. And I want you to look at me at verse 6, at verse 20. And again, I'm going to say some context. I'm going to kind of retell what's going on in verse 16 so we don't have to read the entire chapter. And then we'll kind of come back and see what else is going on. And so in verse 20 it says, "For the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their face and said, Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And will you be angry with all the congregation? And the Lord said to Moses, Say to the congregation, Get away from the dwelling of Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. Then he spoke to the congregation, saying, Depart, please, from the tents of the wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away from all their sins." Let me just kind of, again, I'm just going to be kind of playing with this just as I go along here. So I want to make sure every one of us are participating. This is called working out the bugs. And hopefully we can get, I think I got the Facebook going on. Thank you very much for checking in there too. So I think we're going to get the Zoom ready. It wanted me to sign back in. So I want to make sure people that are on there are signing back in. Okay, so verse 26. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins." So they got away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and Dathan and Abiram came and stood at the door of their tents together with their wives, their sons, their little ones. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, and that nothing has been of my own accord. If these men die as all men die, or if they are visited by the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up at the altar, then if the ground swallows and opens the mouth and swallows them and all that belong to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord." Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer. And let's see what God has to say to us. Father, thank you just for this time together. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless in this message, Father, that people would be blessed. And Lord, just draw us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm sure, you know, all of us have been affected by the shutdowns of recent events. There were two places that I enjoyed going to very frequently, too. And one was a YMCA. I like to go there to exercise. And the other one was I go to Southeastern Seminary just to study. And so I hope the messages are okay because I don't get to go to the seminary anymore to study. Actually, they do let me check out books. And so I'm okay with that. I'm going to try this one more time. But, you know, I'm sure that, you know, I went out to lunch this past Tuesday, probably the last lunch that we had, and they closed down the restaurants. And so I'm sure that some of us at one point or another, we found ourselves kind of complaining And see, just about all that, all the shutdowns, not being able to go out to eat. And as I was looking at this, I was kind of thinking of a song. There was a song that I was thinking about when I was looking at this chapter. And it's an old Steve Green song called Without Complaining. And it was written and sung by Steve Green. And the video features children who grumble and argue. And it's based on Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining. Do everything without argument, that you may become faithful, blameless, and pure children of God. And so that's how the song goes too. And the video goes that these children are kind of complaining and grumbling about the song, and then they come back, and all of a sudden there are these beautiful children. You know, they're doing chores with these smiley faces and all that stuff as well. And I think it would have been wise for the community of Israel to heard a song like this. There's a lot in this context that needs to be addressed. The key verse I want to focus is on verse 48. That's the key. That's the come around. If you're just joining us, we're in Numbers 16 right now. And if you look at verse 48 there, this is going to be the clincher. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague stopped. What do we need to be doing as believers? That's the challenge for us this morning. What do we need to be doing as believers during this pandemic? I would like to submit to you that regardless of the people, the circumstances, we stand, we kneel, and we fall on our faces in intercession to those same people in our lives, same people that were in the lives of Moses and Aaron. They had to intercede on behalf of a nation that just grumbled and complained. And I think that we need to be doing the same thing too. We need to intercede on behalf of a nation that really may not be friendly to the things of God. Well, the first term of Moses' leadership was not panning out very well. His brother and sister challenged his leadership. You may remember that. The nation constantly complained. Plagues visited the people, and there were rebellions. But Moses interceded for the nation. This takes us to the narrative of Korah's rebellion. Well, Korah was a Levite. This guy Korah here, he was a Levite. And according to some Talmudic writings too, he was kind of a wealthy guy. And his big complaint was that no one had access to God. The Israelites, the common Israelite, did not have access to God. And so Korah was not happy with Moses and Aaron's leadership, how they were leading the nation. So what they decided to do, they decided, we're going to get these guys and we're going to start an insurrection. That involved not just Korah, Dathan, and Abiram too, but 250 community leaders with their censers ready to enter into the tabernacle, and that was forbidden by God. And we'll get to censers. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And not only that, but there's two dudes, these two guys, Dathan and Abiram, begin to complain that the promise to bring them to the land of milk and honey had not been fulfilled, and that they were going to die in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, Dathan and Abiram are especially accusative of Moses. Look at verse 14 there. Look what it says here. Moreover, you have not brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And so when it says that you'll put out the eyes of these men, they're insinuating, can you make us blind to the reality of what we see around us? That's what they're talking about. Can you make us blind to the reality that you see around us? You've tricked us into following you. But we clearly see what you're doing, Moses and Aaron. We clearly see this whole mask that you're putting on. So Moses, he has to draw a line in the sand. Okay, you guys, bring your men with their censers in hand. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and these 250 men outside the entrance of the tent. The 250 men were outside the entrance of the tent. Just kind of paint this picture. You got these guys with their censers on one side, They're outside with the tent. Then you have Korah, Dathan, Abiram. They're at their tents too. So you've got two groups of people. And so God says to them, to Moses and Aaron, stand back. I'm going to wipe these guys off the map. We're just going to take them out. So Moses, what does Moses do? At this warning that God's going to, I'm just going to take these guys out, what does Moses do? Well, Moses gets his cell phone camera and he starts videoing, recording, anticipating the number of YouTube hits he's going to have. That's what he would get. No, he doesn't do that. Look at verse 22. And they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and will you be angry with all the congregation? So Moses went to Dathan and Abiram and said to the congregation assembled, you might want to get away from these men lest you get in the middle of the divine crosshairs. So the congregation of Israel moved away. Then Moses tells the congregation of Israel, here, okay, so you got to separate. They've separated the congregation of Israel. And so Moses is talking to the congregation of Israel. And he says, if these men die a natural death, not by, and he's, when he says these men, he's talking to the congregation of Israel. And he's talking about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So he's talking about them. If these men, just pretend I'm talking to a bunch of people over here. If these men, Korah, Dathan, and Abram, if these men die a natural death, then you know what? Then you know that I didn't come from them. But it goes on to say, if the earth swallows them up, if the ground opens up, if God does something different, the Lord does something really, really different. Let's say, for example, that the ground opens up and swallows them, then you'll know that these men despise the Lord. Before he could have finished the sentence, before Moses could finish the sentence, what happens? The ground opens up and swallows up Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So that's what's going on right there. And so when Israel sees this, they were scrambling. They're screaming out, we got to get away or the same thing's going to happen to us. So as they're screaming, God's not done yet. As they're screaming, I'll tell you what, this is like a Steven Spielberg film that's going on right here. So as these men, right after these men drop in the ground, the ground opens up, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and their families, their tents, everything they own, goes in the ground. Then what happens? Fire comes from the sky, probably lightning, and takes out the 250 leaders. That is tough. That's what's going on there. So just to clarify, there's two judgments. And this judgment came, remember these 250 leaders, they're offering unholy fire, which was a no-no. You didn't offer unholy fire. And they were dealt with because of that. So just to clarify, there's two judgments. One toward Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and their households, then another by fire towards the 250 leaders that participated in this unholy resurrection. Well, Aaron's son, Eleazar, is commanded to take the censers or the plates of the 250 men. Remember, they had these. If you imagine, you know, a censer that kind of looks like this. That's the best way to describe it. And I wish I could weld a kind of like a rod on it. That's what they would be. So you have a censer that looks like this. And so what Eleazar, and this was Aaron's son, what he was commanded to do was to take these things, take a hammer, it's good that I don't have a hammer, and just pound them flat. Now pound these things flat, what you're going to do is you're going to lay them on the altar. And that's going to serve as a reminder for these Israelites, don't do anything stupid like this again. And so the congregation, and that's the lesson for the congregation of Israel. So the congregation of Israel, they see divine judgment coming down, and they realize that what Korah, Abram, and Dathan, they led them in a wrong direction. And so with the congregation of Israel, all the Israelites, the nation itself, guess what? Lesson learned. Never going to do this again. They've learned their lesson. Never grumble. They'll never grumble and complain again. That was the lesson that they learned until the next morning. It's amazing how short-term memory can catch up with us too. So go to verse 41 in number 16. But on the next day, all the congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord. You've killed the people of the Lord." And when the congregation had assembled against Moses and against Aaron, they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of the meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from the midst of the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take your tent censer, and put fire on it off the altar, and lay incense on it, and carry it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them. For the wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun." That's kind of familiar, isn't that? So Aaron took it as Moses said, and ran into the midst of the assembly, and behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put out on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the affair of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of the meeting when the plague was stopped. What would we have done? What happens here? Well, this mob starts to kind of, let's retell the story again. So somehow these, the next morning, they begin to complain again. And they, of course, they accuse Moses and Aaron. You killed these guys. Well, how do you get that? I mean, did Moses and Aaron start an earthquake? Did Moses and Aaron, like fire come from their fingertips and wipe out the 250? No. But they reassign blame to the leadership here. Then what happens? Well, a mob starts to assemble against Moses and Aaron, and this cloud starts to ascend toward the tent of meeting. Now, this just happened yesterday in verse 19. This cloud came down, and God spoke and said, "Get away from the congregation. I'm going to wipe them out." And this cloud came down again in verse 42. And this is not the cloud where the internet is stored on, on the data stored on the internet. It's not that kind of cloud. This should have been when the people saw the cloud coming, this should have been a time to practice self-isolation. In verse 45, God gives the first mention in Scripture about social distancing. Get away from the midst of this congregation. Does that not sound like social distancing to us? I mentioned doing these little Facebook Live today. That's going to be the buzzword in the end of 2020 is self-isolation, social distancing. Just that's what's going to be. But what have you and I done in this moment? Let's put ourselves in Moses and Aaron's shoe. Sorry you had to see that. So this company of Israelites, they complained, grumbled, and they've rebelled for years and years and years. These people have complained and grumbled and rebelled. If this nation were a church, pastor would have resigned. So, we probably would have walked backwards if we saw a cloud descend over Victory Baptist Church. And a voice spoke out and said, we're going to wipe out these people. Probably chances are we would have been walking back really slow. We would have been told ourselves to, these guys had it coming. We told you this was going to happen. But what did Moses and Aaron do instead? The next six words I'm about to read go against every grain inside of me when it comes to people who would personally defy you. The next six verses in verse 45, when you look at those verses there that I'm about to read, it's to try to do this goes against my instinct. What did they do? What did Moses and Aaron do when all these people wanted to take Moses and Aaron out. And they fell on their faces. Wow. That is so antithetical to our reaction. What does it mean to fall on your face? Falling on your face is the lowliest form of reverence in which a worshiper leans on his knees and elbows and puts his forehead to the ground. A man may fall to the ground before another person when a person has absolute power of life and authority. Perhaps you may see this like in Mideast culture, where a person just in absolute reverence just falls to his face, falls down. To do so is to acknowledge one's absolute unworthiness and to beg the grace of another person. That's what Moses and Aaron are doing right now. Instead of walking away and stating, you guys, we're done. And what's happening right now is that God is just, Moses and Aaron are interceding on behalf of a nation. And so in prayer, lying prostrate, I have to be careful not to say prostrate. So in prayer, lying or laying down prostrate is a natural position for those who are overwhelmed by trouble or woe or sense the glory and majesty of God. There are moments probably in our lives where we are driven by a sense of two things, of trouble and anxiety or of awe and wonder. And it drops us to our knees. It just drives us to the ground. When you're faced, whether you think, I like to challenge us as a church during this desperate time of our desperate time we're in, whether we think this virus is overblown or whether we think this may last for years, I would like to challenge us as a church to pray in this face down, prostrate manner. Whether you're faced in an environment where it just seems that everyone is opposed to you, to the ways of God and opposite to you, fall on your face. Verse 46 tells us about this plague that begins to make its way through the camp, that Aaron had to make atonement for on behalf of the congregation of Israel. Now, it's not my intention to associate or to tie in this plague with the coronavirus that has global implications. It's not my place to prophesy if this is divine judgment, but I believe it is our place to fall on our faces to intercede on behalf of a nation and a people who might be sour to what we believe, just as Moses and Aaron did. Now, we've mentioned this word censor. So let's talk about what this means. This censor here, if you've got it in your bulletins, I kind of got an idea. If you're watching here, right where my finger is, right there, you see that long stick with the like the plate or the bowl on the end? That's kind of a censor. That's a censor with a C, not a censor like you have on like the cameras on your phones or a censor that someone might come to your house and count how many people live in there too. So the priest filled the censer. So you can imagine this. We'll pretend that this is a censer. So the priest would fill up the censer with hot coals that come off the burnt offering. Remember, the burnt offering, you got coals in the offering, that's cooking the burnt offering, and the coals would go in this censer, and the priest would walk in. Remember, it kind of had a long rod attached to it too, and he would put like this incense in it, and it would smell good. It was like essential oils. So, and he carried it into the tabernacle. The temple wasn't built yet. And he carried it into the tabernacle and into the, and they, remember, once a year they went into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. But they would carry it into the tabernacle and it would create this perfume, aroma-like, wherever they had to carry the censer into. This cloud of smoke filling the room with this fragrance. And the censers and daily use were made of brass. And the scripture places incense in close worship to prayer. And so that the offering incense, when this incense that were to go into this place. You can imagine, you know, when I think about incense, I think of it looks like potpourri. It may not be that, but I think it looks like potpourri. So you can imagine these hot coals in here and the senses incense that's placed on it. And it's a very specific kind of incense. And the incense is used, I don't have time to talk about this, but the incense that was used had very specific qualities that represented the perfection of God. That's why this was serious business. And that's you remember going back to why Nadab and Abihu, remember, they were killed because they offered a strange fire to God. And so you had to use, there was no like looking away, you didn't use the right incense in there too, and it kind of smells. No, there wasn't like that too. This is offering the right incense was serious, important business. It was so important that Paul wrote about this in Ephesians 5, describing Christ, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So Aaron took a tremendous risk. That's what Christ was. So, and you think about this too. So Aaron, he's a priest, and he's walking around here. He's walking around within the congregation of Israel, walking around perhaps tens of thousands of people, and this plague's already begun. People are dropping dead, and he's having to offer this and go around these people too. Now the danger was that if he touched a dead body, you're disqualified. You can't do this. He had to, because if you touched a dead body among these people you're walking around, you're defiled. And so that's what's taking place here. Aaron is walking around and he's offering this as an atonement for the people. They could have very well stepped away and said, you know what, you're right, God. Deal with him. We'll start all over again. But he made an atonement for the people. So what's the challenge for us during this time? What's the challenge for us during this time of uncertainty? Well, the first thing I'd like to challenge for us to do is to fall on our faces before God. Please don't underscore the position that we pray in. And the Old Testament gives several examples of people praying while standing, seated, kneeling, and prostrate on the ground. Perhaps one day I'll do a series on this, but I would like to give it a try. When you're alone, preferably when you're on a clean floor, and no one can interrupt you, because if someone walks in, you find yourself, you know, then someone's calling 911. Think, David, what happened to you? Wake up. And so. But I'd like it for it to challenge us as a church just to spend time in your face. You know, we oftentimes sit, prayer has become kind of a passive thing with us too. We pray before a meal. We may say a quick prayer here and there, and I'm not faulting that as well. But I think there are times within a church and with believers too that we need to fall on our faces and pray to God, just as these men did. Of course, the second challenge I'd like to consider is praying on behalf of a nation. Sometimes I think because, you know, we're a small church like this, we can't be effective. We need to be a part of those, you know, big rallies that meet like at the Capitol steps, you know, big a name that goes along, a real popular speaker. I often tell our, but keep in mind too, you know, even though we're not that big, and we're maybe one people, two people prayed for all of Israel, Moses and Aaron. Two people prayed. So don't underscore the fact that it's just one man praying against or praying for how many hundreds of million people there are, especially during this crisis. I often tell our Wednesday night crowd, when we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, is that, we may be the only people praying for this particular person. Maybe the only people praying for someone on our prayer bulletin. When we intercede for people not keen to the message of Christ, What do we do? Consider what Ezekiel wrote. And I sought a man from among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach. You may remember that as stand in the gap. And Ezekiel was calling these people to stand in the gap, that I should not destroy it. But what was Ezekiel's concern? I found none. And perhaps today that's our challenge. When we consider what's going on in our nation, that we need to stand in the gap and kneel in prayer. And what happened there? What was the key verse, the clincher verse there? Think of there's Aaron. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. And perhaps as with Victory Baptist Church, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be standing in between the living and the dead. And I can't say that the coronavirus will all of a sudden disappear because our little church is praying. But I think something will happen. If we stand between the living and the dead, then God's going to work and God will move, just as he did here with Israel. If you would join me in prayer. Father, we're so grateful that you're a holy God. Father, that today that we can stand in the gap on behalf of a nation, that we can stand for people who might even be opposed to your message. And we can pray for them, just as Moses and Aaron did, prayed for a rebellious nation, a rebellious people. We can fall to our faces as well. So I pray, Father, that there will be moments in throughout the coming weeks that will just do that. As we open up the news and read the stuff in social media, that instead of debating the legitimacy of it or worrying that it might affect us or our family, that moments like this will drive us to our face in prayer, praying for people who might not be keen to your word and to your message. Lord, you've called us in times like these to be a light in a dark world, and I pray that we would be that. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.